to the American Idiots Podcast, the show where we take the hottest topics currently dividing our country and we debate them with our diverse group of hosts. So sit back and strap in as for the next 2 hours we leave no story undebated and no politician will be spared. It's the American Idiots Podcast live on Podcast Network 49 and it begins right now. Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome into the American Idiots Podcast. I am Money Mike. Of course, I'm going to be joined pretty quickly by my co-host, the Manic Hispanic. Of course, we want to let you know, if you do enjoy our content, go ahead and give us our page here on Facebook or YouTube a like. Subscribe on the YouTube version. Of course, share. Hit the notification bell on YouTube so you can be notified when we upload, which is every Monday night at 7:30. And yeah, pretty much that's it. If you listen to our audio only version, of course, we want you to subscribe to us, leave us a 5-star review on Apple iTunes, all that good stuff. But with that being said, I can get that spiel out of the way and go ahead and bring on my co-host, the Manic Hispanic. Manic Hispanic, how you doing today?
Doing good, man. It's been a good day. Not too pressing. We're getting into that holiday season where, I mean, you know, the leaves are turning, leaves are falling. Decorations start to go up. It's just really nice. You're starting to see all those sale signs everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, but I'm not sure how well you can see.
What am I looking at? I can see you fine.
Up on my toy shelf.
Okay, what's new? I gotta think. I can't see too well, so go ahead and let me know. Oh. By the way, totally see the Christmas story. Love it. By the way, gotta ask. Saw the post from you and your wife enjoying the state title game last week. I totally thought you guys were going to pull out the victory. What happened, man?
I thought we were going to pull out the victory, especially when we got ahead in the second half. Man, it was really looking good. And with 4 minutes to go, we had the ball. We were up by a few scores. And I told my wife, if we can run the time down to at least 2 minutes or under and score, we got the game in the bag. And as soon as I got that sentence out, we fumbled the ball.
Oh, man.
They recovered, and they wound up scoring on that drive. And then I think the next possession, they stopped us. And the next possession, they scored again, wound up tying it up. So, 8-man is a pretty cool – I mean, this was the first time that I really sat there and watched the game. There's no field goals. You have your four downs, and that's pretty much it. If you get your first down, you got your first down. But if you get close and you're on your fourth down, you can't kick a field goal. You have to go for it.
Nice.
Or punt it.
Don't mind the thought of that.
Right. If you score, there's no regular PAT. You have to go for a 2-point conversion.
I'm assuming by the name, it implies that Iron Man on both sides.
It's not. I mean, you have your offense, you have your defense, but there's only 8 men on the field as opposed to 11.
Gotcha.
I'm sorry. There's 16 as opposed to 22, you know, count both teams. But, yeah, each team only has 8 men out there at a time instead of 11. So you have a smaller field as far as your left to right, your you're out of bounds. It's still 100 yards. So that's pretty cool. But it is a faster paced game, and it does run up the score quite a bit.
I saw that score. I was like, dang.
Yeah.
Is at a premium.
So last year, Mountain Pine had basically done the equivalent of winning the championship, but because AAA, Arkansas Athletic Association, because AAA did not recognize it as a sport in Arkansas, there was no actual championship. So this was the first year that they had a championship, and we come up just short.
Oh, man, isn't that how it always works?
Yes.
Hey, always next year. Always next year.
I'm assuming you not for those seniors. Not for those seniors. How could you say that, Mike?
That's true. That's true. But there's also no participation trophies.
Right.
We got a lot to get into, and I have a feeling we're going to have some fun bashing on some of these people. But let's get things started with Chris Cuomo. He was fired over the weekend from his job with CNN. And we have a story here from ABC News on that.
CNN anchor Chris Cuomo has been fired. The network says that it terminated Cuomo after a review by a law firm. And a former female colleague has now come forward accusing Chris Cuomo of sexual misconduct. He denies any wrongdoing. ABC's Phil Lipoff is in New York.
Tonight, CNN host Chris Cuomo is not only out of a job, but now facing an allegation of sexual misconduct. Deborah Katz, an attorney for the accuser who wants to remain anonymous, did not give details about the alleged misconduct, saying her client's decision to come forward began when she watched Chris Cuomo say this on his show in March about the sexual harassment allegations against his brother, then Governor Andrew Cuomo.
I have always cared very deeply about these issues.
Kat says in a statement, hearing the hypocrisy of Chris Cuomo's on-air words and disgusted by his efforts to try to discredit these women, her client retained counsel, and last week they reported the allegation of misconduct to CNN. A spokesperson for Chris Cuomo saying these apparently anonymous allegations are not true. Cuomo's termination comes on the heels of text messages released by the New York Attorney General's office last week, which show the primetime host used his media connections to help prepare his brother as accusers came forward, messaging the former governor's top aide saying, "Please let me help with the prep," giving advice on statements and checking with sources on potential news stories coming out against the then governor. Cuomo had previously acknowledged his involvement on air.
When my brother's situation became turbulent, being looped into calls with other friends of his and advisors that did include some of his staff, I understand why that was a problem for CNN. It will not happen again.
On Saturday, CNN said that his role was more than he led viewers to believe, and after a review, he was terminated. Cuomo later posting on Twitter, "This is not how I want my time at CNN to end, but I have already told you why and how I helped my brother." CNN had no specific response to that sexual misconduct allegation, but in a statement, a spokesperson did tell us, "When new allegations came to us this week, we took them seriously and saw no reason to delay taking immediate action." Lindsay?
Phil, thank you.
Hi, everyone. George.
Okay, Manny, so let's talk about this real quick, because I have some, I do have some issues with this. Number one, CNN, in their statement, says that they fired him for his inappropriate, you know, dealings with his brother during this investigation. You knew about this since March.
Right.
Why now?
Because now it's come to light.
Well, he even addressed it back in May on his show and said, "Hey, I fucked up, my bad." I would have been okay with them firing him back then. Why wait this long? And then the accusing thing, for her to say that, not saying that she's, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that he didn't act inappropriately with her or anything, but to say that he tried to discredit those women, I remember the clip, we showed the clip on here, he didn't try to discredit the women. He said that, you know, he almost went after his brother in a certain way. When you think about it, what do you think about that statement? Do you think that do you find any issues, number one, with the termination and the details surrounding it, and number two, with the statement from the anonymous accuser?
when you look at everything, it's always a hindsight type thing. As far as the investigation and everything that was going on, I think things came to light, and that's what really put him on the radar. Mm-hmm. And if they could have kept it hidden under the rug, I think things would have been fine. But I think people were starting to get wind of what all he had done. Mm-hmm. And that's what forced the hand of CNN to have to go ahead and let him go. And as soon as that happened, it was almost like, you know, the domino effect started.
Right. Absolutely. What do you think specifically about the accuser statement? Do you think, remembering what you saw and what have you, it's been a while, but do you think Cuomo was trying to discredit these females and with his statement?
I honestly don't remember what all he said about them. I mean, when you're looking at people that are in the spotlight, of course, their thing is to play it off. Their thing is to play it off as much as possible. If you play it off and don't lay a lot of credence on it, it's not as big of a deal.
So I don't have a sibling, so I can't speak, but I'm going to make a statement. And maybe, do you have a brother?
I've got a sister.
Okay. I've got a sister, I guess I should say. I don't have a brother, but I'm not saying that if your sister was accused of the same thing Andrew was accused of, you'd go through hell and earth to defend her and help her out and what have you, but you'd probably assist as much as you felt comfortable with, you know, out saying, you know, hey, yeah, you know, while telling them too that they fucked up, you'd probably still assist them, their family. Do you think that Chris acted inappropriately in the way he assisted his brother?
What all has come out about it? How far did he go in assisting him?
So essentially, from what I understand, just based upon the story there, Cuomo texted his brother about when there were more allegations coming out. He told them, hey, let me help you come up with a defense, I guess, or a response to these accusations. Just basic things like that, just texting back and forth with
him. So basically just kind of troubleshooting and blocking for him. Which in a way could be, you know, demeaning the credibility of the accusing.
True. Good point. Do you think that it's inappropriate because of his position at CNN, or do you think it's inappropriate, period?
It's inappropriate, period. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we have laws against this kind of stuff and people are breaking the law, we are supposed to, as good citizens, bring an end to that.
Right.
In one way or another, whether you call law enforcement to enforce the laws, or you, you know, get your gun and do a citizen's arrest like the three did.
Those sure worked recently.
Right. It is up to the citizens to help police the area when the police aren't around. The police can't be around 24/7, not everywhere. So that's one thing you have to look at. Another thing is speaking with a family member or friend who is doing something wrong and telling them that this is wrong. You need to do something. You need to turn yourself in. You need to come forward.
And, you know, that's something interesting because, you know, and Lord knows it's the news, so they can bury whatever they want to bury. But they didn't bring up any of these text messages, Chris telling Andrew, hey, man, that's kind of messed up what you did. You need to face the penalties. At the same time, it was all about, well, what can I do to help you out and limit your liability or whatever.
Right. So my biggest question is, who all has seen this and were about to come forward with it? for CNN to suddenly say, you know, because like you said, this happened back in March.
Right.
And to think that somebody in CNN didn't know this was going on is pretty naive.
Well, and I'm wondering, too, though, if the straw that broke the camel's back was this woman. I'm wondering if CNN had advanced knowledge because, what, it comes out 2 days later that this woman is accusing him of sexual misconduct now.
And that's a very good point. We already know that they're willing to sit on stories.
Yeah. Yeah, that may very well be the straw that broke the camel's back. But, I mean, Chris, you got to do better. You got to do better for sure.
I'd like to find some of the clips where he was, you know, all hating on Trump for the comment he made, the locker room banter that he was recorded saying, mm-hmm. and the Stormy Daniels accusations. Yeah, I would definitely like to pull up some of the clips from that stuff where Chris Cuomo was, you know, condemning Trump for his behavior.
It's different, though.
Oh.
It's completely different. It's different now, Manny. It's completely different.
The other part of that is Chris Cuomo has canceled his podcast as well. So he shut it all down, saying that he needs to work on his family. His family comes first, you know.
Let me roll my eyes again. Anyway, isn't that the like go to? I want to be with my family right now. We need to heal.
Yes.
Heal. Yeah. Whatever, Chris. You know your credibility shot. I mean, let's be honest here. His credibility's done. He can't go on a major news outlet any longer and have any sort of credibility with this.
Right.
It's done. His career's over. If he thought about politics, it's over. The Cuomo family in New York is probably over.
Yes, so that wouldn't surprise me. Yeah.
It's definitely going to be interesting to see how this plays out in the future for politics. But next up, we have the Omicron COVID update. And we're going to talk about this. We have a couple different things going on with this. Not just Omicron, which is now prevalent in 17 states.
18 now, yeah. Watch the 6 o'clock news, 6 o'clock world news, mm-hmm. and they have it up to 18 right now.
Okay, so 18. I just noticed on the map, Arkansas is pretty much completely surrounded. So apparently we're doing something right because we're the only fuckers not getting it.
We don't travel anywhere, but it's coming. I mean, if you think of all the other maps, you know, when COVID first came out, it was the same way. When the Delta variant started coming through, it was the same way. It will come in. It will do what it does, which a lot of people are saying that the symptoms aren't as bad as the Delta variant was. You have people that are fully vaccinated with booster catching it. So your vaccine mandate. It is for what?
You know, and we're going to talk about that after the story, but praise the good Lord above. It seems like, and correct me if I'm wrong, these ones that we worry about that are oh so contagious, oh my God, they're so contagious, actually seem to be the ones that you can get over. The ones right. we're not so worried about, the ones that aren't as contagious, are the ones that are killing folks.
No, I think you're incorrect about that. Delta variant did kill a lot of people.
Okay.
And it was very contagious.
Okay.
I think it was only the original strain that killed the most.
Yeah. I think the original strain or whatever, alpha, beta, theta, whatever.
Right.
First struck in the U.S., I don't think we've met those numbers yet, but of course now, right now, the Delta variant is the
prominent
variant.
And yeah. Now we're
possibly going to have this Omicron take over, but we have a story here from ABC News again.
This morning, the Omicron variant spreading rapidly around the globe and in the U.S. Cases are now confirmed in at least 17 states. A new preliminary study suggests Omicron may have borrowed genetic material from the common cold, making it more infectious. And though it may be more transmissible, reports in South Africa where Omicron emerged indicate hospitalization rates have not increased alarmingly. But top infectious disease expert Dr. Anthony Fauci warns they still need more information.
But we really got to be careful before we make any determinations. But thus far, the signals are a bit encouraging regarding the severity.
One case closely monitored, 30-year-old Peter McGinn from Minnesota, who tested positive for the Omicron variant after attending an anime convention in New York late November. When he flew home, he said he started feeling mild symptoms.
Kind of feeling that tired. I kind of felt bad for about a day.
When McGinn learned his friend tested positive for COVID, he tested as well, though he was fully vaccinated and received a booster. About half of his group of 30 friends tested positive.
Did my absolute best to follow the guidelines. I had my mask on the entire time.
Health officials continue to urge Americans to get vaccinated or booster shots. According to the CDC, 6 million people have received a shot since Friday. Meanwhile, a new study with J&J shows receiving their booster on top of an original Pfizer vaccine prompts a strong immune response. It signals mixing and matching vaccines could be promising.
And starting today, all international travelers must show proof of a negative COVID-19 test the day before boarding to enter into the U.S. A travel ban is still in place for 8 African countries.
Hi, everyone. George Stephanopoulos here. Thanks for...
Okay, George, shut the fuck up. Okay, Omicron. So let's start talking about this. Again, a lot of doublespeak here in this story. So we go straight from the guy being directly interviewed saying, I followed all the guidelines, had my mask on the whole time, got my booster, got both vaccinations, and I still caught it. Here's the thing. Again, I believe what we're learning, and for once I heard Fauci, you know, calm people down, is that we are still learning about this. And we're more so learning that this is acting exactly like we expected it to last year. It's going to be a flu situation. You can get a flu shot each year. You can get a COVID shot each year. At this point, in my mind, we're learning what we knew a year ago. But Fauci at that point was like, slow down. We're not sure. You got to get this vaccine. Otherwise, we'll never get back to normal. Like, for the most part, I think we are back to normal.
But the problem with that is, like, what New York is going through. They have amped up the mandates.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have your shot. Yep. There are a lot of places, schools, places of employment that you cannot go if you have not been vaccinated.
So I'll say this here, and I'll say this loudly and clearly as I am. I'm not an anti-vaxxer or anything, but I'm starting to relax my thoughts on the vaccine. Or getting the vaccine. Here's my thought process here. If your job or this place that you're going to requires you to get a flu shot, you should also be required to get a COVID shot. That applies to anybody in the medical field, yada, 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 so on and so forth. You should also be required to get a COVID shot. Cool. Reason being, you work around that shit all day, every day. Lord only knows you're more than likely going to get it. I'm not saying for you to, you know, for it to not kill you. I'm saying, fuck, hopefully you don't catch it. But with that being said, that's where I am on that. Anybody else, I don't understand the thought process. And that's why I think that we did see what we saw this last week, Manny, where the judge came down and basically said no on the vaccine mandate.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was trying to pull up the list of people that have to be vaccinated in New York. A judge was working to block those mandates. We know that. And we know that OSHA has spoken up and said that they're not going to enforce this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have government officials and judges that is saying this is BS.
I knew the way you worded it, you said OSHA didn't, but I hadn't heard that. OSHA did come out and say that they're not going to enforce this and they're not going to fine these workplaces.
Hold on, let me find that story for you.
Okay.
Fill some time.
Okay. So, I mean, and I mean, Manny, maybe you can tell me this, though. What do you think about that? I do think that if you're working in a hospital, if you're working around the elderly, someplace where pretty much you're required to get a TB skin test, you're required to get a flu shot yearly, so on and so forth, to maintain your to maintain compliance with these standards. You know, basically, if you work in the health field, I think you should be required to get it because you're already required to get a flu shot. Get your fucking COVID shot. At the end of the day, it's another stick. Who cares? Now, on the flip side, though, if I'm a construction worker that doesn't deal with a lot of the general public every single fucking day, especially not sick people, why am I being required to get this COVID shot? So my question to you on that is, do you agree with that? Do you think that the healthcare workers and the people that are already required, you know, to get the flu shot and the TB skin tests and all of that yearly, do you think they should be required? That's where I say yes.
If it is a place that is already requiring you to do stuff like tuberculosis and flu on an annual basis, I think tuberculosis is every 7 years. Mm-hmm. I can understand them wanting this COVID as well. But to the lengths that they are starting to go, people that work at Walmart have to have it all of a sudden, you know, that I don't understand that. People that work at Kroger have to have it.
Not every person you're going to come in contact with. It's almost like they're saying every person that you come in contact with is carrying COVID. No, if you work with the general public, the chances of you coming in contact with somebody with COVID is greater than, say, me who works from home. But it is not as great as those who work directly one-on-one with patients that have been diagnosed with COVID or do have these pre-existing conditions that should they catch COVID could kill them. So you're right. They're absolutely overstepping their bounds by doing so, in my mind.
Right. Which I agree with. I'm sorry, I'm still looking for this story. I remember when it
goes, that's pretty damn major. That pretty much kills the teeth behind Joe Biden's vaccine mandate. And Joe Biden, if I'm Joe Biden, you have to take a step back and you have to say, okay, I'm not going to die on this hill. But here's the thing. Joe keeps trying to die on this hill. It's like you knock Joe off the hill and you're like, okay, Joe, we're going to let you live on this one, but learn your lesson. And Joe's like, no, I'm good. I'm just going to go ahead and keep coming back up on this hill. Like, you cut one arm off and he tries to find another way to get this vaccine mandate passed. And it's absolutely asinine. What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and
expecting different results. Yeah.
That's where we are with this, is Joe Biden is so determined for God knows what reason. Again, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't buy the fact that, oh, the government's trying to track us through this vaccine or so on and so forth. I'm not there. You can miss me with all that bullshit. You can even miss me with the, we're going to fucking find out that this shit's cancer-causing in 50 years. Like, do I really think that that's going to happen? Probably not. Then again, 50 years ago, people thought cigarettes were healthy. It is what it is.
Right.
You had doctors saying, oh, this is the best brand to smoke. It's endorsed by doctors. I mean, medication helps out or moves forward. And we're going to talk about medication here towards the end of the show. But with that being said, again, you can miss me with all of that. But at the same time, I still can't wrap my mind around why they are. It's an overreaction for overreaction's sake, if that makes sense. Like, aren't these government officials the people that are supposed to be the calm ones and the people that are supposed to be the calm, influencing voices who say, okay, here's the deal. We're going to get through this. We're going to be okay. If you want to get a vaccine, get a vaccine. You know, I actually saw yesterday watching football the coolest vaccine commercial I've seen. It was a guy driving around in his truck, and at the end, he stops at the COVID-19 vaccine clinic, and, you know, he says, let's do this. But literally, all it said was at the end, please consider getting a vaccination.
Right.
The word consider makes it so much different. I mean, am I right on that?
Yes. Yes, it does. There was a lot of Republican politicians who had done a commercial where they were saying that they got theirs, but at no time were they pushing that you have to go get yours.
Right. Again, I'm not I'm not here to say that you can miss me with the whole bullshit of, oh, the government's trying to track us and all of that.
All right. The headline is, and this was 8 days ago, the headline was OSHA shelves Biden's mandate and refused to start rolling it out.
Nice. That's awesome. Again, though, it's like he dies on the hill over and over again. We knock him off and he says, okay, cool. But then goes right back up that damn hill to get knocked off again. It's asinine to me at this point. I mean, is there any avenue that you can think of that he can go about now to try to get this vaccine mandate, or is this the end of the line for him? I mean,
I think this is coming up on the end of the line, because once you start getting your judges involved and you start getting other government entities involved with not pursuing it as much as he's pushing it, I think it's a lost cause.
The Supreme Court wouldn't hear this, would they? I mean, it's not a constitutional crisis.
It depends on how it's brought to them. People that are being fired or laid off due to not being vaccinated need to sue in numbers that it does get pushed to the Supreme Court.
True. And that could potentially help. But I mean, again, his aides need to be pulling him back at this point and saying, hey, I need you to chill the hell out. We lost this one, Joe. It's cool. We got, you know, millions upon millions vaccinated. Move on. Move on to more pressing stuff like Russia and things like that. But we're going to move on to another story that...
Let's can go ahead and move on. I'm getting my wife to pull up that story on the news that we just watched that actually lists out the places that are mandating this vaccine. But we will come back to that as soon as she gets to the right spot. Let's go ahead and go to the next story.
Absolutely. So we're going to go ahead and go on to the next story. And this story, when I first read it, I sent it to you and I was like, wait, have we already gone over this? And you said it's actually a retread of what we went over earlier about California. But New York City this week has okayed drug safe spots. And we have a story from a local New York news station, NBC New York, on this.
Safe injections, the new move by the city to prevent overdoses by allowing people to inject drugs legally.
And a cold night ahead as we close out the month of November. We'll talk about how long it lasts in your forecast.
Fine dining and even finer views. New York Live takes us to the Sky High new restaurant and cocktail bar, serving up an experience unlike any other right now. Hey, this is News for Now for November 30th. I'm Kay Ingram. Now, it's a first for the country and here in the city. The goal is reducing overdose deaths, and to do that, two supervised injection sites are now open. One is in East Harlem, the other in Washington Heights. These are safe places where users can bring in their substances and workers will provide them clean needles. Addiction and overdose treatment, if needed, is also available. Other cities like Philadelphia have tried to open similar sites, but haven't yet due to public backlash. The sites are run by nonprofits that oversee the needle exchange programs. The city and the country have seen a dramatic increase in overdose deaths during the pandemic. City officials say this is a new tactic to fight back. Now, a worker is in deep trouble. A hospital is apologizing after 13,000 patients called.
Okay, I don't know why they put 20 fucking stories together on that, but let's talk about the one that they just talked about, the New York City's drug safe spots. What? I mean, literally. So,
why are we going to have laws that ban these substances if we're going to provide them places to do these substances?
Come shoot up here. We'll give you a clean needle. We'll make sure you don't OD.
Basically, are they going to start providing bathtubs for people to cook meth in?
Let's be honest here. Basically, what we're doing is we're taking away all of the negative besides, well, no, we're taking away death. So we're taking away all the negative of doing drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. You will see that overdoses decline. See drug use, and especially intravenous drug use, skyrocket.
I don't think that you will see the overdoses decline. What I do think you will see is death from overdose declining, because there's somebody right there that can revive them.
Okay. So you think
the overdosing will still happen.
Right. Okay. Okay. But do you agree that the other side of that is going to increase the actual people using intravenous drugs is going to skyrocket? Because, I mean, hell, why not?
I don't see it skyrocketing. I mean, the people that use are going to use regardless. This just gives them a place to do it now. They're not going to be hidden. So now you're going to see a whole lot more of it.
Here's the bright idea. Hey, I'll even take this one. You can come in here and use once, but when you come in here and use, you've got to sign a contract that after you come down, or hell, after you inject that drug into your body, you must go to rehab immediately afterwards. If we're going to provide you and make sure you don't overdose, and we're going to provide you a safe spot to do these drugs, you've got to go to rehab immediately. Again, this does nothing to curb the root issue of this, which is drug use, which they need rehab. They need rehab. They need obviously probably some sort of mental counseling. They need a lot of things in this country. But a safe spot to go shoot up is not one of them. Like I said, Manny, I'll even take you telling them that, yes, you can come use this once, but then you got to go directly to rehab. I'll take that. But I just, hey, come in whenever you like and shoot up. That makes no sense to me.
Right. And that's one of the big things. You look at what they did, you know, to the natives of this land, where if they wanted an abortion, they gave them a full hysterectomy. Because they were trying to thin out the native population. It should be the same way with this kind of stuff. Yes, you can come here, we'll exchange your needles, but you need to go into some kind of program.
Right. And I mean, hell, you know, a lot of the knock on drug rehabs and alcohol rehabs are they're Christian-based, so on and so forth. I mean, I have no problem with that because I'm a Christian. But If you don't subscribe to that way of thinking, then hey, we have this non-denominational, non-religious-based rehab that you can go to, and it's just going to teach you ways of coping mechanisms.
All right, anything- real quick, I'm going to list these mandates as they play. As of December 27th, private sector employees have to show proof of at least one dose.
Is that in New York City specifically?
Yes, this is New York City. As of December 14th, ages 5 to 11 have to show a proof of one dose for restaurants, gyms, and entertainment venues. There's one more. I'm waiting for it to come up.
Here's one for you. Do you have to show a COVID vaccination status to get in this club thing?
Apparently you do. As of December 27th, age 12 and over, have to be fully vaccinated for indoor activities. So right there, whenever you start making it mandatory for anybody 12 and over to be fully vaccinated to attend an indoor activity, you're looking at your concerts, you're looking at your sporting events, you're looking at churches. I think you've got a problem there.
Again, here's my thing. At this point, and I'm not going to say it's not deadlier than the common cold or deadlier than the flu, but are you blaming people for killing you for giving you the flu or anything else? Like, that's where I am on this. Like, that's literally where I am. Like, this is not as big a deal as what they're making it any longer.
So it seems like New York would have the best chance of having law cases actually taken to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, lower case. Oh, yeah. Law cases. Yeah. And definitely you'd think they'd have lower cases, but of course it's one of the fucking hot zones for this shit, which is beyond me. But anyway, with that being said, I mean, that's another thing, though, that you have to think about. COVID. You guys have all these restrictive laws on the books, but you're going to open a drug safe spot? Like, what?
Yeah.
And I mean, what they didn't say there, the mayor's behind this. The mayor's like, oh, yeah, it'll cut down on overdoses, and we're just really proud of this program. Again, for real, I'm to the point where, you know what? If you want to come shoot up, cool. You can do it once. But afterwards, after we give you this needle and you go shoot up, you're going directly to rehab. You can tell us whether you want to go to a faith-based rehab or a regular rehab, because that's one of the knocks on rehab. Yeah, you can choose, but you're going to rehab, and we're going to address the issue, and we're going to make sure you get better. We're going to teach you coping mechanisms. That is how you're going to fix this. Not, oh, well, fuck it. We'll just give you the drug, or not we'll give you the drugs, but we'll give you the needles you need.
Right. Give you the needles you need. We'll provide you a place where you can do it and not be judged. I don't know.
Cops, are they chilling? Are they chilling outside the door of this sucker? Like, hey, what's up? You got some
It really baffles me to see the things that are starting to go on. You know, and I know I may sound cold in saying this, but people die all the time. And if somebody chooses to do it by their own hand because they're chasing that next high, that's just part of life.
And I mean, mind you, here's the thing. This is a preventable death. This is a very preventable death. This isn't natural causes. This person decided, man, made an adult choice, well, in some cases, an adult decision to inject this chemical in their body, knowing that it could result in death.
Yeah.
Shit happens. Yeah. Shit happens. Okay, let's move on before I get any more worked up about this. President Trump, it's been shown President Trump called his aides shortly before the January 6th riot. We have a story on this from Forbes Breaking News. Bilderman, we didn't get robot voice, but we had to read it. Anyway, let's go ahead and talk about this right here.
You go ahead and spill your guts.
What about this is earth shattering? What about this tells you that President Trump orchestrated the riots?
That's my point. Number one, it shows that within a few hours of the quote-unquote riots happening, Trump was still trying to figure out a way to stop stuff. So if he was still trying to figure out a way, that means he's not the one that orchestrated this.
Right. I mean, again, do I think Trump's a dumbass for thinking that Pence would stop the, you know, the democratic process? Absolutely. Does that mean he's a dumbass who orchestrated the January 6th riots?
But you have to look at everything in total. He's still getting news from people saying that votes that are being counted are not legitimate. If you can just hold on, we can prove it. So, in my opinion, it's not that he was dumbass thinking this and that. It's that he was listening to people that were telling him this stuff.
But again, it doesn't prove that he had any knowledge.
Right.
Deeply orchestrated all of this. Like, again, all you're doing to me is showing that the man was just trying to stop the...
What he believed was, yes.
That's all you're showing me. Like, of everything Nancy has shown me, there's been nothing to prove that he had any knowledge. There's been nothing to prove that he has any truth, or that there's any truth to these allegations. It's been a backfire on the Democrats and Nancy Pelosi, if you ask me.
Yeah, definitely.
They've got a lot of egg on their face because what this commission has been going on now for three or four months and nothing.
It's only been 3 or 4 months. I thought they put this together last year.
Well, yeah, they put it together last year, but I think they only started convening back in like September.
Gotcha.
I did see, though, that Steve Bannon this week, while we're here, I did see that Steve Bannon did finally agree to, again, come testify before Congress.
Right.
And now there's another one. I forget which one. I think it was a deputy chief of staff, some pissant in the Trump White House. And I don't say that derogatorily. I say it like he was some insignificant person. But they're looking to indict him on criminal charges for not showing up. But again, here's the thing. I'm not saying defy the orders of a congressional committee because that's just fucking stupid. But go there and say, hey, I don't know shit. Make them look dumb. Why fight
right. it? The bottom line on the whole thing, as far as I see it, is they keep trying to attach Trump's name to this January 6th riots.
Right.
As being a mastermind. And the more they put out, the more we see that that's not the case.
Which is funny because they can't somehow comprehend after they spent 4 years attacking the people that, you know, followed Trump. They can't seem to wrap their mind around the fact that these dumbasses got together and did this shit. Like,
right.
Okay. Here's the thing. Like, the only thing making Trump look guilty at this point are these people not going. Like, that's it. That's
yeah.
It. That's the only thing that me and you can sit here and say, okay, that kind of looks sketchy.
Yeah. But your unwillingness to go and answer questions, yeah, definitely makes you look guilty of what they're accusing you of.
Other than that, literally nothing they have presented. Like, if I'm Trump, I'm rolling in there with a smile on my face. Like,
right.
Tell me what you got, bro. Like, for real.
Definitely.
Like, I for real, when I read this story and when I saw this stuff, I thought, okay, somehow, some way, it's going to say, yeah, we're going to have this big rally, and then we're going to encourage him to go. No, nothing. This is not earth-shattering. This is barely news.
Right. I mean, he tried to get Pence to halt it, and Pence didn't. He tried to get other officials to halt it, and they wouldn't.
Which is stuff, let's be honest, we already knew.
We already knew
he was talking to Pence about stuff.
And none of that stuff contributed to the January 5th riots.
Exactly.
As far as Trump being the leader of this whole thing.
It's so stupid that, like, at this point, you gotta laugh. Because the stuff you accuse Trump of doing, or the level of stupidity you accuse Trump of having, you're showing yourself. Because, again, like Biden and his vaccine mandate, you won't just die. You won't just die on this hill. You just keep coming back up it. Like,
right.
Definition of insanity. Okay. The Supreme Court, speaking of which, we're going to go back to the Supreme Court. This week, they are looking to review abortion rights, specifically after the Texas law came out. We finally got to the Supreme Court, and actually the Supreme Court and the justices are looking at possibly rolling back some rights for abortions. Here we go. This is from the Washington Post.
Well, this is the biggest abortion case that the court has heard in decades. Since the last time it was asked to reconsider the precedent set in Roe v. Wade, which said that a woman had a constitutional right to an abortion. In that case, 1992, Planned Parenthood v. Casey, the court said that states do have an interest in restricting abortion, and they have an interest in trying to preserve unborn life, but that a woman has a right to make a decision about abortion, that it can't, the states can't impose an undue burden on that woman's right before the time of viability, meaning when the fetus could survive outside the womb.
Mississippi and its attorney general argued that the court could uphold the Mississippi law without directly going against those precedents, Roe and Casey, but then they got a lot more aggressive.
They got a lot more aggressive, and I think we can only attribute that to a change in the makeup of the court. This case was filed at the Supreme Court while Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg was still alive. She, of course, was probably the court's biggest defender of abortion rights and certainly would not be counted on to overturn Casey or Roe v. Wade. And so the court kept this case around for a very long time. And after Amy Coney Barrett was confirmed, actually months after that, the court finally said that it was going to accept the case. And so you're right, Mississippi pitched it as you don't have to disturb Roe v. Wade to uphold our law. But afterwards, when they filed their merits brief, said, yes, you should get rid of Roe, you should get rid of Casey, you should return this issue to the states.
I mean, to get rid of Roe and Casey, that would be a massive step in American law. What is Mississippi's main argument?
Mississippi's argument is that Roe was wrongly decided 50 years ago, that Planned Parenthood v. Casey just reaffirmed that wrongness, and also that it is proven unworkable. You know, the court every year is called upon practically to look at more abortion restrictions to try to find out which one is unconstitutional, which one meets the tests that was provided in those cases. That Mississippi says that Planned Parenthood v. Casey said this should end, this is a compromise that should end the debate over this divisive issue, or at least we hope it will. And obviously that hasn't been true. And so Mississippi says it's an unworkable standard and the court should just get rid of it.
So what is the abortion provider's argument against the Mississippi law?
Well, they say that the court has provided a constitutional right to abortion that women have and men have come to depend upon for 50 years now, and that the court has never taken back a constitutional right that it extended, and that there is no reason for the court to change anything that it's done. It defends this viability line, which is going to be a big issue in this case, saying that even with all the advances in medical technology and all the advances in science, the basic idea of viability, when a fetus could survive outside the womb or not, has not really changed in all that time, and that this is the only workable line that the court could come up with.
Okay, Manny. So, we're both, let's get this out of the way, we're both men of faith. Neither of us are female. Here's my stance on this. I do not think that Roe versus Wade needs to be repealed. I'm unfamiliar with Casey, but I would assume it's along the lines of Roe v. Wade. What, again, I think Mississippi is failing to realize is you're getting rid of all abortions. Me being a man of faith, I believe that, you know, every life is precious and all of that. But where I digress is I believe that as long as you're not just deciding, hey, I want an abortion, as long as you're not making that choice, and I don't want this fucking kid, as long as you're not making that choice, as long as there's something like, hey, you were raped, hey, it was incest, you know, so on and so forth, then yes, absolutely, I think you do have a right to terminate that pregnancy. But these people that, you know, are, you know, the thing that Roe does, though, that is bad is that it allows these people that are like, just wake up and, you know, they're the minority of these people getting abortions, in my opinion. But they are people out there getting abortions that are just saying, hey, I don't want this fucking baby. I can't afford this baby. You know, again, taking the consequences out of the action. You knew what the consequences were when you decided to either A, have unprotected sex or have sex, period. You knew those consequences. I think if anything, Roe v. Wade needs to be amended, but not completely stricken from the books. That's where I am on this, Manny.
My thought about this whole thing goes to when you present an individual as like, you know, what they're saying is they got some things wrong, and they're looking at when a fetus is able to survive outside of the mother.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then why don't we apply that to people whenever they've had a car accident?
Here's
who
the thing.
Can't survive outside of, you know, being put on a machine, a breathing machine to help them breathe.
Here's the thing, man, though. That's going to actually extend that birthing window, that window. Right now, I believe it's at 20 weeks, roughly, is where you can terminate up to 20, roughly.
Right.
You're wrong on that. You're talking about a child can't be sustainable outside of the mother's womb until 32 and above, correct? So you're going to...
I honestly don't know. There's nothing I've really researched.
That's a hard line for me because that baby, even though it is not sustainable outside of the mother's body, is still clearly an almost fully formed human being when you get upwards of, you know, 20-30 weeks.
Right. And that's basically what I'm looking at. You know, I'm all in favor of a morning after pill. I'm all in favor of stuff way before there's a heartbeat. But once you get to that point where it is developing nerves and blood and stuff like that, you have to look at it differently. Bottom line.
I completely agree with you. And I'll go a step further and say that if you cannot make up your mind, I think you can hear the heartbeat 12 weeks, roughly. I've not had a child, but I think it's roughly around the 12-week mark when they'll allow you to hear the heartbeat and so on and so forth. If you cannot make an adult decision in 12 weeks
right,
to terminate that pregnancy, that's wrong to me.
Yes. And I would agree with that statement. And like I said, what I think needs to happen is some of these people who have gotten double sentences for murdering someone who was pregnant, they need to take this back to court and make the judicial system determine what do you consider a life.
True.
Because either it is or it isn't. You can't say it's a life in one respect when you're looking at putting murder charges on somebody, but it's not a life in another respect when somebody doesn't want the pregnancy.
Absolutely. Absolutely agree with that statement. And I think we're a lot more similar on where we are as far as this thing goes. And, I mean, that's not even my faith telling me, you know, hey, this. I couldn't imagine after knowing 12 weeks. You have 12 weeks of knowing that you're pregnant. And you're going to tell me that you decide after 20-something, it takes you 20 weeks to say, I'm not ready to be a mom. I can't financially take on this responsibility. I'm not ready to be a parent. I can't take on this responsibility. It takes you more than 12 weeks to decide that?
Right. A fetal heartbeat may first be detected by a vaginal ultrasound as early as 5.5 to 6 weeks.
That one may be... I think you're stretching my opinion in me saying 5.5 weeks is too soon. Because, if again, you have 5.5 weeks and it's probably the only fucking thing on your mind.
But, right. It says between 6.5 to 7 weeks after gestation, a heartbeat can be better assessed.
Okay.
So that up to 6 weeks is, you know, rare cases. It can be detected, but it's not a all the time thing. They look more to the 7 weeks to actually be definitive on, yes, that's a heartbeat.
I'll stick on my 12-week thing, but I'll say this. If in 7 weeks you can't make a decision as to whether you can financially support a child or any of that they use these excuses for,
right,
something's wrong with you. Like, you don't need to be like, well, let me give this a little bit more time, because if this check comes through and that check comes, like, what are you waiting on?
Right.
Hey, I work at McDonald's and I can't afford this child and give this child a good life. Terminated at that point. And I'm not for dead babies, but terminated at that point. If you want the right, terminated at that point. Terminated
right.
At the point you say, I cannot give this child a good life.
And then the other question you have to look at is the father's rights.
Very true.
I mean, the father's being cut out totally from that. If a man don't want to deal with that, too bad. If a woman decides to have the baby, he's still on the rope for at least 18 years of child support.
I'll say this. If the man forces the woman, or if the man tells the woman, I don't want you to have an abortion, then the man should have full custodial rights of that child, and the mother should then have to pay child support. Well,
right.
Maybe not even child support. If that mom wants rid of it, then okay, cool, whatever. As long as the baby doesn't die.
But, well, that needs to be both ways then. If the man wants to be rid of it, he shouldn't have to be held on child support.
Touche, good point. So then, yeah, child support both ways. But you make a valid point. But if the man is unwilling to sign a contract or a legal document or whatever saying, hey, I get all the custodial rights and I've got to take care of this kid, then okay, it's on the mom. The mom can make that choice. But yes, I do agree that should be able to have at least some say in this. Okay. So another story here, going back to one that we always talk about, immigration. Some Trump-era immigration and migrant policies may be making a return pretty soon here. We have a story from CBS News.
The U.S. and Mexico have finalized plans to restart a Trump-era border policy that returns migrants to Mexico while they wait for their asylum court hearings. A federal judge in Texas ruled back in August that the Biden administration has to reinstate this policy, saying the program was terminated illegally. The Biden administration is appealing this decision, but is still required to enforce the ruling. The program is likely to restart on Monday. Joining me now is CBS News immigration reporter Montoya Galvez. He has been following this story closely. Camilo, welcome. So why did the Biden administration reverse this Trump-era policy in the first place?
Hi, Tanya. Good afternoon. This is a policy that both President Trump and his top advisors have strongly criticized during the 2020 campaign. Then-candidate Joseph Biden said that the policy forced asylum seekers to live in squalor in Mexico. And the administration came in under tremendous pressure from progressive advocates and lawyers to get rid of this policy that, again, requires asylum seekers to wait in Mexico for the duration of their immigration court proceedings. And indeed, the Biden administration quickly suspended this policy hours after President Biden was sworn in. But now, of course, the administration finds itself having to legally reinstate this policy because of a lawsuit filed by Republican-led states, including Texas. And it is now garnering criticism from progressive activists who argue that the administration should move faster to try to issue a new termination memo, which it has, to try to terminate this policy once and for all.
Well, we know the president's administration has come under fire for the situation at the border. So where does the administration stand on appealing the judge's ruling to reinstate the policy?
Yes, so a federal judge in Texas in August agreed with Texas and Missouri that the Biden administration had improperly terminated the Remain in Mexico program and required the administration to reinstate this policy. The administration tried to get this order suspended by the Supreme Court, but the high court did not approve that petition. So this is why the administration currently has to reinstate this policy. It is still appealing it. And as I mentioned earlier, it has issued a new termination memo, Tanya, that it hopes will pass legal muster. But of course, this case could drag on for months. And until that time, many asylum seekers, potentially even tens of thousands of migrants, could be returned to Mexico under this new version of the Remain in Mexico program.
And so what do we know about the terms in the final agreement between the U.S. and Mexico? Because Mexico has agreed to keep these migrants, correct?
That's a critical question. These are non-Mexican asylum seekers who Mexico has to accept into their territory. We know that the Mexican government for months now has demanded several U.S. commitments before it agreed to the re-implementation of this policy. Specifically, Mexico asked the U.S. to expand the categories of migrants who would be considered too vulnerable to be returned to Mexico. And because of that, the U.S. has now expanded those categories to include members of the LGBTQ community, the elderly, and asylum seekers with physical and mental health conditions. So those asylum seekers are not supposed to be returned to Mexico under the new guidelines.
Okay, Manny. So we have this Trump-era migrant and immigration policy making a return where these migrants are being returned to Mexico. Here's my thing. And literally, I may be the only person that's thinking of it in this scenario, but what's a good way to get these children out of cages? What's a good way?
That's one.
Terrible conditions.
My thought was actually going to, this was the only way that Biden could get this done and still save face as if he was trying to still stop it.
Right. And
because,
I agree.
Because the timing is very, very unique as far as, last week I heard that there's another caravan that is on its way through Mexico. Mm-hmm. So, we didn't do the paperwork right. So we can't accept any more right now. It's going to be several months. Y'all are going to have to stop over there. And yeah, I just look at the timing and I think it's pretty auspicious that now it happens to come up.
It is a good point, but here's my thing. Like, this was actually a judge handing him the fix for the children in cages on a silver platter.
Right.
Silver platter. hey, just send them back to Mexico. Once their paperwork's filed and everything, come on in.
Right. I do find it funny that they were saying, hey, you know, some people aren't strong enough to make this transition. The weaker people, they need to stay there, and they lump the LGBTQ people into that. So
I could kind of see that one, just because LGBTQ individuals are obviously at a higher risk for being attacked. If it were to be found out that they were part of the LGBTQ community, I can kind of understand that one.
I'm just curious how they feel about being lumped into a category as weak.
True. True. Good point. Good point.
You know, why aren't they protesting that?
That's actually really interesting. That's a good point.
Because it benefits them. We're not going to protest that. Yeah, you can call us weak as long as we get to stay here.
But the thing that stuck in my craw a little bit about this is, when he said progressives are pushing that he gets this terminated even quicker, you know, getting another memo out there, so on and so forth, so that the judge can't fight this. Again, progressives, if you want these kids out of cages, any
right. Term, yeah, that's your silver platter right there. There's your golden key.
Here you go.
But that's not what they want, Mike. They want them out of the cages and over here so that they can shower them with all of these gifts from the United States so that when they turn 18, they are voting members of the Democratic Party. I mean, their party.
Yep, very true. Very, very true. Good point. And that's just not how this is going to work. And they need to understand that. Again, dying on a hill that can't be won. Okay, cancer and dementia risk. This week, a story came out about a link between heartburn medication, of all things, and dementia. So we have a story from WebMD about these links.
If you regularly take certain medicines for heartburn, you might think twice before you pop that pill. Drugs like Nexium, Prevacid, and Prilosec are called proton pump inhibitors, or PPIs, and they've been linked to a bigger risk for dementia. PPIs reduce the amount of acid that your stomach makes. That's how they help heartburn. But they also may increase the amount of a harmful protein that builds up in the brains of people with dementia. Now, that doesn't prove they cause dementia. In the study, the people who were taking these drugs had other problems, like being in poor health and taking many other medicines that are also linked with dementia. So it could be that's what's really driving up the risk. So what should you do? People who really need these drugs should take them, with their doctor's supervision, of course. That means using the lowest dose for the shortest time. And it won't hurt to take one if you have heartburn every once in a while, but if you have regular reflux, other things might help instead. Try these steps first. Lose weight, quit smoking, eat smaller meals, skip alcohol and chocolate, and try raising the head of your bed. If those don't work, talk to your doctor. For WebMD, I'm Dr. Michael Smith.
So basically what he's saying is, don't be fat. He's talking right to me on that one. Anyway, with that being said, what do you make of this? A heartburn pill. But this is, you know, when you shared this story and you put it on the forum for tonight, the first thing that jumped to my mind is all these health things that, you know, in the old Blue Collar Comedy Tour joke that I think it was Larry the Cable Guy used to tell about all the things that were worse, that were potential symptoms of the drug you took, than the thing you were actually taking. This isn't anything new. I believe we've always known, like, the amount of medicine you take, like, eventually will kill you. It kills your kidneys, all sorts of stuff. So if you take a ton of pills, your kidneys are going to get screwed. But, I mean, here's the thing. We're all going to die sometime. I don't think you're going to get a perfect drug that doesn't eventually lead to harm in your body, I guess is what I'm getting at.
The biggest reason that I put this stuff on our list was because I started thinking about this vaccine that was not tested very well. And you get to looking at the things that they have put out there. The FDA has said, oh, no, this is safe. And now it's starting to come back as, hey, this could cause cancer. And, hey, we noticed that people with dementia took a lot of this stuff. The other thing that I'm not seeing in our headline there, while yes, we're talking about those pump inhibitors, all right, COVID back?
Maybe.
Okay. While we're looking at those pump inhibitors, the other thing I had shared on the message board that we're on, the Facebook message board that the members of this group were on, was I just pulled it up, but aerosol antiperspirants and deodorants.
Oh, crap. You did share that. I'm sorry. I didn't see that. I just looked off the headline. I'm sorry.
Well, the headline that I put on there, I think I also mentioned that.
No. The headline that you put out this morning was just cancer and dementia, what the government allows in our products.
Products, yes. Okay. So I mean, that was the other one. And there, you know, at the headline, it was just deodorants. They didn't get rid of these antiperspirants that have cancer-causing chemicals, FDA says. So I think it's funny that the FDA will say, hey, we need y'all to get rid of these because, you know, there is a link, but they were still allowing it in the product for how many years?
So I often wonder if the FDA allows this to happen, but when new evidence comes to light, they're quick to pull it. I can't really fault that.
I don't know that they're quick to pull it. And this is why I say that, Mike, because I have heard about cancer-causing ingredients in deodorants back when I was 16, 17 years old.
Really? Okay.
Yes. Now,
this was the first that I had heard about it when you did share that story. So that's actually really interesting. But another thing I want to caution you with, too, though, is, I mean, hell, 2 years ago, bacon was the worst thing in the world for you. Now, I read the other day that, like, if you eat some bacon, it can lower your risk for heart disease or something. That you're like, what? You've been telling me for 15 years that this is terrible for you.
And that's one of the reasons, you know, I don't have a problem drinking a beer or two.
Right.
Because, you know, they say that alcohol can be good for you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Even my dentist says that. Drinking alcohol actually cleans the mouth better than most of your toothpaste.
Yeah, in moderation, absolutely. I think one glass of red wine a day is supposed to lower your risk for heart issues.
Right.
I would have thought about that. But, I think it's just a situation, and I know you don't agree with me, but I think it's just a situation literally where, you know, new evidence is presented. Okay, cool. Let's pull it back. Again, I think that it's pretty common at this point, or at least this is how I live my life. Eventually, all the medicine you take is going to kill you. Like, you can only take so much of this stuff that your kidneys have to filter out before they shut down, and guess what? You're dead. In some way, shape, or form, all medicine kills you.
You really have to look at, the history of these administrations through the years. I mean, when you start looking at like the Tuskegee experiments that they did, you start looking at a government that does not have the best interest of every person at heart.
Very true. And I mean, again, what did we just say earlier in this show? 50 years ago, doctors were on television saying, go ahead and smoke. It's okay.
Cigarettes aren't bad, but they're in too raises another issue. When you have companies like Big Tobacco kicking money out to your politicians, telling them, hey, we need you to say this.
Very good point.
Now you got Big Pharmaceutical doing the same, doing the same thing.
And
like I said, when when is somebody held accountable for making the decision that this is okay?
Now, on this issue, Manny, don't look now, but you're sounding like a Democrat because you're saying get the money out of politics.
I've always said get the money out of politics. As long as you have companies that is throwing money to politicians, it is the businesses that are running the country, not the people. Absolutely. So I don't know why that sounds like Democratic to you. That sounds like the Republic to me, because that's what the United States was set up to be, was a republic of people.
Very good point. Very good point. But I'm just saying those are the people that yell about it. But again, I completely agree with you, too. All this whole presidential 3 years worth of bullshit could be settled in like a 2-hour debate on national TV. And then the next Tuesday we vote. And then nobody has to spend these millions and billions of dollars.
Right. Yeah. I mean, let the capitalists be capitalists. Put your products out there, make all the money you want to make. But politicians should not be able to reap benefits from a capitalist society.
Absolutely not. I completely agree with you. Okay, final topic of the night, American Idiot of the Week. This week will not be Joe Biden. This is a record, I think, for us since he's taken office that he has not been my American Idiot of the Week for 2 weeks in a row. This week has got to go to Mayor Bill de Blasio for his drug safe space and actually going out and formally endorsing this situation. Like, wow, bro. What are you thinking? Manny?
This seems to be the norm for me. You know, as I go through a bunch of different stories through the week, I wound up finding a bunch of stories, and I think I posted one on our message board that we shared. Given to y'all, I didn't know who might want to take that one, because I already had two written down.
Yeah, I remember you saying that, which is funny. We might get a three-peat, y'all.
Lee Price III of Houston, Texas, was sentenced to 9 years in prison for scamming $1.6 million of COVID relief fund money. He was accused and found guilty of wire fraud and money laundering because he applied for loans with the Paycheck Protection Plan. Mm-hmm. And he wound up spending that money on Lamborghinis, F-350, Rolex watches, and even strip clubs.
Damn, that sounds like a
little bit. The second one that I had was Darryl Brooks Jr.
Okay.
The Milwaukee driver who mowed down 60 people, killing six, was the last count that I heard. Well, that was bad enough already. He actually told the press that he believes he is being demonized and treated like a monster. When I read that, I couldn't figure out why he disagreed that people saw him as a monster.
Right?
How do you mow down 60 people? Even if nobody died, how do you mow down 60 people and then wonder why people look at you like you're a monster?
I don't know. I don't know.
So, based on his comment, that wound up being the last thing that I wrote down was as my American Idiot of the Week.
Whew. Don't label him a monster, y'all. Okay, Manny. Well, that's all we got for tonight. Anything else you want to go over before we get out of here?
Nope, I think that's it.
Awesome. Well, ladies and gentlemen, for the Manic Hispanic, I am Money Mike. We will see you next week right here on the American Idiot Show.